Shalom Aleichem, welcome everybody. As we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis coming off, the wonderful Yom HaNoraim, capped by a Simchas Torah and a Kabbalah Bezus Hashem, to do better in Tov Shem Pei and Begibel than we've done in the past. Of course, one of the ways to do better is to join a Thursday night Mishmer. Thursday night is a night that a person could stay up an extra hour, even an extra 2 hours. I mean, it's Hashem, you catch up on your sleep on Shabbos. In the good of medicine, we are starting Masechtas Brachos, an Amid a week, learning the Amid with Mishnah Berurah, and Bezos Hashem marching towards the completion of Brachos, starting with Dav Beis this evening. Whether you're in Brooklyn, you'll certainly come tonight, or wherever you might be. Start an Amid a night, join us in Yirtzeh Hashem in an extra limud beyond your regular Siddurim for Mishmar Thursday night. So let's talk a little about one concept in Parshas Bereishis, which is also a very basic concept to Yados in general. And that is that our understanding is that before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas and was punished, he would have lived forever. In other words, Nisa came to the world due to the fact that Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. There's a difficulty with this. In the beginning of Perek Beis, which is before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, in Pasuk Tes, we find in Gan Eden, there was something called the Eitz HaChaim, a tree of life. What was the tree of life? Well, later it's described as somebody who eats from it, the Chai La'olam, would live forever. But I thought before the Chait, everybody would live forever. So what's so special about eating from the Eitz HaChaim? Why was there an Eitz HaChaim? A second problem. Adam was told that if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, beyoyim on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, mois tamos. What do you mean on the day you eat it, mois tamos? The point is that there'll be misa in the world if you eat from it. So this needs an explanation. The second topic, which I hope to explain with the same explanation, is the topic of Tchiyas HaMeisim. The way we understand it, and the way the Rishonim explain it, Tchiyas HaMeisim is a schus for righteous people that in the end of days, in Yemais HaMashiach, there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. People who have died will come alive again. Tchiyas HaMeisim. However, the Rambam says, the eternal life is without the guf. So that Tchiyas HaMeisim, people will come alive, and they'll die again. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Chelek, when he has an animamid about Tchiyas HaMeisim, he says after Tchiyas HaMeisim, people will live without getting ill, but they'll also die. What's the purpose in a Tchiyas HaMeisim when people die? And finally, kasha number 4. We know that there's a concept of Gilgul Neshamas, the Neshamas coming back. Everyone who mentions Gilgul mentions it as a pain to the Neshama. In other words, the Neshama really is perfectly happy in Masifta Derekiah. The Gilgul HaNeshamas is a punishment that the Neshama has to come back to this world. But then what's Tchiyas HaMeisim? Tchiyas HaMeisim is the Neshama coming back to this world. So all this needs a very serious explanation, and there's one Yesod which will answer it. This Yesod is based on the Netziv in his Pirish on the Chumash, Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk that talks about Eitz HaChaim. So a little bit of elaboration from other sources. And the Yesod, the basic fundamental idea that we need to understand, is that there are two types of Misa, two types of death. Death, as we normally talk about Misa, is El Afar Toshuv, is that a person who comes from earth returns to the earth. It's a third kind of Misa. Your time's up, and when your time is up, El Afar Toshuv. We could call that Misa, death, which is Yerida, which is going down. Physically, the person is buried in the earth, his body goes down, but more than that, it's Yerida. You have an opportunity in this world to do mitzvahs, and Misa shuts the door. You have an opportunity to do tshuva, and Misa shuts the door. You have an opportunity to show up at Mishmar, and Misa shuts the door. That's called the Yerida. There's another type of misa, which is an aliyah. That is that the neshama is no so nis'ala. The neshama rises so much until it breaks free from the body. The body, which is a lavush, or a way of chaining the neshama to this world, holds the neshama down. When a person is so mizdachich nishmosa, he purifies himself. He raises himself. So the neshama breaks free. It's something like the Misa of Neshika, where people like Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to Neshika, a gentle separation of the neshama. Or like Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, his death was aliyah. He wasn't buried. He was lifted up. He was lifted up to heaven because he purified himself. I remember seeing the tshuvas of Reb Shlomo Kluger. Reb Shlomo Kluger was a prolific writer. It is said that he wrote Svarim Kaminyan Shlomoi, which would be 375 Svarim. Whether he wrote that many Svarim, I don't know. But he wrote many tzavois. The first tzava, which I saw, which is printed in the back of his Sefer and Chumash, is a tzava he wrote as he approached his 50th birthday, 50th birthday. As he approaches his 50th birthday, he writes, I'm soon going to be 50. And maybe I'll have this chus that just like Yovel, at the 50th year, Avadim go free, so too my neshama will be nishtachver, will be freed from my body. And I'll be able to go up to Shemayim. This is how he talks about Nisa, Rav Shlomo Kluger. Ulai will be zeicha, b'shnas ha-yovel, to go free. There's a certain death which is an aliyah. So that there's a death which is a yerida, a death which is an aliyah. I saw this by Rav Palm Zichrono Livracha in his last tkufa of his life when he realized that he was not going to recover. It was a calmness. It was a pleasantness. There was no fear. There was no panic. It was a calmness of a transition. There's a death which is a yerida. There's a death which is an aliyah. Before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, there was not going to be death, which is a yerida. Adam Kaidem Hachet was not going to die a death of a yerida, but the death of Aliyah, the Misa of Aliyah, of the Neshama being freed, of course that would exist. That's chus. It's the job of a person, lezachich es atzmai, to purify himself until he can purify even his body. And his neshama can go up to Shammai. And that existed even before him. The punishment of eating from the Eitz Hadas, b'yayim acholchem, on the day that you eat from the Mais Talmus, is you won't have the source to live a life long enough to purify yourself. Bang! There's going to be a yerida. Says in the Tziv, just like there are two types of Misa, as I'm describing them, there are two types of chayim. There are two types of being alive. Some people are alive. Most people are alive. With a body is a physical body, and it does the will of Hashem, hopefully. We do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we connect to mitzvahs by doing mitzvahs. There's another chayim. There's a chayim where the person himself feels like a merkav to the Shechina. He feels like a person that can be his whole personality. There's no ani and then mitzvahs. The whole ani is to be an Eved Hashem. That's the personality that is mizdachi chesaguf. He describes that as Eliyahu HaNavi and Chanaich, who became so pure that their neshama went up to Shemayim without any yerida, just with the derech aliyah. It's a different chayim. We're far away from these high, lofty levels. But on Yomim Noiraim, we have a me'en. We feel a little bit of the aliyah, of living lives that are lives to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That dream, that sense, it should stick with us. We should look for moments like that. We daven all year to come to that one geshmak, geshmein esrei, when we feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give up, don't give up. Some people just, their shmenes is involved daydreaming and they quit. Don't quit. Keep on working on it. Maybe this will be the Shemini Esrei. You'll have such a tefillah. You'll have such a moment of learning. You'll have such a moment of stepping beyond where you could otherwise be. This is a lesson of the Eitz HaChaim. The Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, is a tree from which a person would eat. And he'd live forever. He would never die. A Misa Sirida. After Adam sinned, there had to be a Misa Sirida. There was Nigzar on the world. So after that, he couldn't eat from the Eitz HaChaim anymore. But ideally, in the perfect world, in the world of Gan Eden, everyone would eat from this tree. Everyone would live a life where they would be Chai La'ilam. The Neshama would never have, the Neshama and Guf would never have Yerida. Neshama would have an Aliyah. Oh, that they would have. A beautiful explanation, a beautiful reality check into what we're capable of. Second topic for today, I would like to talk about Mashiv HaRuach, Umayrit HaGoshem, Umayrit HaGeshem, that we began to say when we bench Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. As you know, there are two minhagim. Some say Umayrit HaGeshem. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky pushed very much. He held the correct nusach is Geshem with a segel, and in his sefer in Emes Liakev on Parashas Bereishis, he explains his shita. And others say Mered HaGoshem. When I grew up, the Siddurim in America all said Mered HaGoshem. And Ramesh used to say Mered HaGoshem. He said, not out of a strong conviction that one or the other is more right than the other, but since he always said HaGoshem, he continued to say. There are different minhagim. It's fascinating to see that in Eretz Yisrael, there are kuntrasim, there are pamphlets printed on both sides of the argument. On both sides of the argument, it was published in Eretz Yisrael, a kuntras called Eitz HaChaim. There's a kuntras that was published to, I'm sorry, a kuntras called Birchas HaChaim, to show that Geshem with a segel is correct. In the kuntras Birchas HaChaim, he lists hundreds of siddurim over the generations that said Geshem. Subsequently, a kuntras Mashiv HaRuach was published. This plant, kuntras Mashiv HaRuach, supports Goshem with a comment. And as a matter of fact, he says that publishing hundreds of svarim is no proof. He says the hundreds, they're considered like one or two. That's his language. They're considered like one or two, kechadai trei chashivi. Because all the siddurim just copied from each other. In a place where they said Geshem, so they're putting out a new siddur copied from the first one. Not everyone who publishes a siddur investigates again and again every segel and comment. And the kuntras, so the kuntras Birchas HaChaim is for Geshem, Mashav HaRuach is for Goshem. Then there was a third kuntras for that, kuntras Mechalkel Chaim Bechas. Machakachayim Chassid is again for Geshem. It's fascinating. Listen to what he says. He says that the first Sefer wrote that hundreds of Sfarim said Geshem. The second Kuntras wrote, no Raya. People just copied from each other. The third Kuntras says, well, you're not going to copy from someone unless it's the practice of the community around you. Who's going to copy something and publish it different than everyone around him? So it must be that they all said Geshem. Then he says, interestingly enough, B'charifus, that even in Birchas HaGeshem, where we say Sha'atahu, Mashiv HaRuach, Amarid HaGoshem, and all the Siddurim they have Goshem, is that's also wrong. That also should be Geshem. For someone like me, it seems like a contradiction. He said, nobody could publish something that people don't do. Now, everybody publishes Sha'atu Mashulchan HaGoshem, but that's wrong. Eshem HaGeshem. My point is the strength with which they argue this argument. The kuntras that defends Geshem says HaGoshem came from the cut of Shatzi Tzvi and from the Maskilim. They switched it to Goshem. That's what it says. The Kunchis Berchas Lachaim. The second Kunchis Masha Baruch. He says, what? The Maskilim, the Shabtai Tzvinix, they bothered to Pachka with one Kumbis and one Segel. They had nothing better to do. Incredible. That's the second layer of dispute. And then there's a third layer of dispute. In the Kunchis Berchas Lachaim, he says, the first place you find the Kumbis is in the Siddur Vayetar Yitzchak in the 1600s. Who published the Sefer Vayetar Yitzchak? Somebody named Rav Yitzchak Satanuv. Somebody published it, the Sefer Vayeta Yitzchak. Who was he? Well, in the Kunchis Berchas Lachaim, it describes him as Oisei Rosh HaApikiris, the Statanum. The Rosh HaApikiris came from the city Statanum, Samach Tes, Aleph Tes, Nun Vav Mem, the city. In the Kunchis Mashav HaRuach, he calls him. Who was he? He calls him Yadua b'bdikosei v'ne'emunosei l'Hashem u'l'tayrosei. A known Erlich Yid. That's what it says in the Kunchis. Berchas Lachaim. So that, I'm sorry, the Kunchis Mashav HaRuach, which defends the comments. He calls him a tzaddik. He says, I'll prove it to you. There's so many askamis to him. How could askamis from great people be like that? In the other countries, they say, what are you talking about? People write askamis without knowing what they're writing. So, a strong dispute back and forth. My point is not whether it's say Geshem or Goshem. We live in America. We don't make a fuss over anything. But the fact that Torah is so alive in Eretz Yisrael, the Geshem, Goshem divide takes on meaning, investigation, arguments. It was alive there. In America, I hear boys sometimes argue. They argue that the pizza's better in this store, that store, or which type of shopping is better, or the brim hat with the big brim and the low brim. You know, like there are things we argue about in America, too, that have to do with Judaism. But the chiyus, the resurgence of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, as astonished, they're probably more conscious, and these are three that I'm aware of. How the life that Torah has in Eretz Yisrael is something to be jealous of, that people could write kutrasim and argue so strongly about Geshem and Goshem and spend time and investigate, and the fact that Torah is real. Torah is Eretz Yisrael. And with that, for the moment, my time is up. Torah is real in Eretz Yisrael. You go to Beis Medrash Thursday, and you go every night. There are people in Beis Medrash 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. They're little babies. They daven Ma'ariv at 8 or 9 o'clock and go home to go to sleep. Go to sleep to look at the paper and whatever else they look at. No, they're in Beis Medrash late at night. Koshkein Thursday. You have to try to learn from Teres Eretz Yisrael. Americans visit Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, but they stayed in Little Brooklyn. They stayed in Little Brooklyn among Americans. They even speak one word of Ivrit, you know, maybe to the cab driver a little bit, and that was it. No. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael and learn what there is to learn from Eretz Yisrael. A good and Shabbos voracious to one and all. Looking forward to greeting you tonight, especially those of you who will say, I wasn't going to come, but I heard you say we should come. Okay, I'll be there tonight. Avenue West, the corner of East 22nd Street. Mishmar, 10:30 to 11:30. I give a 15-minute shiur at 11:30, followed by Ma'ariv at 11:45. And then there's Mishmar 2. We learn Sefer Yeshaya. You ever see people who work by day, a couple of dozen of them, up learning Nach after midnight? It's Kedai just to come to see it. Looking forward to greeting you all. Guten Shabbos.